connection.
Welcome to Practical Rambling Fathers. I'm Father Brian.
I'm Father Tay.
And today we're going to talk about leveling up with Jesus for the next 4 episodes. And to do some of this, we're going to go through a few of the things that Father Tay and I read and or listen to. And First we're going to really broadcast this book largely. It's called
Building a Non-Anxious Life.
That's what it's called. By
Dr. John Delaney. I think that's how you pronounce his name.
That's close enough. Anyways, I came across this book in... I don't even know where I came across this book. Anyways, it caught my fancy, and I've been kind of reading it on and off for the last few weeks. And I just think it's so good to look at the practical things that he points out about particularly anxiety. More anxiety than stress, but even stress too. And so he has a 3 or 6...
choices.
6 choices, daily choices. Reality, connections, freedom, mindfulness, health, and healing, and belief. So he has all these daily choices in building a non-anxious life. But in order to do that, we need to look at, and then we'll break them up into sections. So the first section that we'll undertake is reality. Mm-hmm. But before that, just wanted to point out what he proposes anxiety to be.
Yep.
Anxiety is alarm, and it generally begins. So he uses this analogy throughout the entire book of saying anxiety is a smoke alarm, and normally we just try to mute the smoke alarm instead of looking at where the fire is coming from, and that can be of any emotion, really. They give us a cue to reality, but not always necessarily reality. But in this case, with real anxiety, these are like typically the 4 following reasons why anxiety is sensed in our body. Our body senses that we're alone and disconnected from friends, family, community, or tribe. You are lonely and on your own, so nobody has my back. Your body senses you are unsafe, or a place, a person, or a group of people is unsafe, so we feel anxious about that. 3, your body recognizes it is unhealthy, overstimulated, sleep-deprived, or struggling with relational and physical boundaries, trauma, illness, drug use, hormonal dysregularity, or other health or healing concerns. And 4, your body understands you don't have autonomy in your life due to a relationship or your environment, for example. Someone or something is making decisions about how you will live your life. So those are generally over broad strokes of what anxiety is coming from. And so the work, I guess, that we can do is to come into what reality is. And the great part is, the sad news is the world we live in has created us, we've created a world that our bodies can't live in.
Correct.
Back in the day, average person only knew about 150 people in their entire life. Mm-hmm. They lived within, the state that they grew up on, if not the county they grew up in. They married their high school sweetheart, because they didn't know anyone else. That's not because, but fell in love with a relatively small group of friends. And so we've just kind of created this, the amount of videos and the amount of
correct
imagery that we have is...
yeah.
Way higher than history has ever had it. So
the way he describes it is beautiful. He talks about, like, we're living in the age of everything happens simultaneously at once. Let me find that quote here. I was just kind of struck by it. Because he puts his... Where was it? Pause it. Sorry. Yeah, so there's an early section of the book. He talks about how, kind of what Father Brian's describing. Now that we're living where everything comes at you at once, it removes a lot of the mystery. So because you've been completely bombarded by this information, it feels like you have to be in control. Since you're able to grasp these things, and so it heightens your awareness of like, well, if I know this, I know more people now. Technology puts me in control of further out lands. That's the added pressure of like, then you can't fail.
I had a hot take the other day. That's one of our things we do at the Newman Center. And I was like, I don't know why my Weather Channel app has me knowing about hurricanes in Florida. I don't care. Yep. Like, I can't do a thing about them. I can pray for those people, but, like, that's about it. Like, I can do that without even knowing there's a hurricane. Like, it's just hilarious for me in that, in my way of life, it doesn't pertain to me, but I know about it. Why do I need to know about it? So, anyways, do you want to do the memory to action?
Which one?
With the world, right? After a while, we'll do anything to numb out or distract ourselves from the piercing shrill of this fire alarm instead of recognizing where the fire's coming from.
Yeah.
Do you want to do that list?
The list, yeah. 654. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So here's the list that Dr. Deloney says, as in his book says, after a while, we'll do anything to numb or distract ourselves from the piercing shrill. So he starts off with food, we overeat, drugs.
So these would be the answers that the world has us to do.
Yeah.
Essentially, not our faith.
Correct. So food, drugs, alcohol, work, Googling what happened to the cast of Dawson's Creek with the work deadline looming, rage and anger, imaginary conversations and obsessive thinking, sex, exercise, trying to be perfect, being right and power plays, starting fights, buying and buying and buying even when you can't afford it, collecting and organizing and hoarding stuff, cleaning the house, mercilessly talking down to ourselves, doom-scrolling social media, staying up to the minute on every current news, headline, global tragedy, or climate concern, more data, and more data, and more data.
I don't know about you, but I can definitely find myself doing those types of things if I'm not with the Lord. So,
yeah.
And then he goes into this excessive solving for toilet paper. Remember when COVID first hit and everyone was buying up toilet paper? It was like idiocy.
The limit was like, one whatever package per person. Yeah, they were just, yeah.
So it's like excessive action in the face of, oh no, we might, you know, blah, 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 with toilet paper. Okay, that's hilarious to look back on and be like, why didn't I do that? No, I just wanted to do something.
I
want to
be ready. Yeah, I want to be ready. I want to stock up.
Do something.
Just in case if things happen.
Yeah. And then he goes to like, rumination and worry are a total waste of our time. Because even what we ruminate on actually don't come up. Or what we worry about don't come to reality. So,
yeah.
But
that's a good point to remember too. Like how often we get anxious because for me, it's easy to catastrophize, right? Oh, this is a tough meeting because they're not going to like me. This is a tough meeting because I have to be confronted with something. This is a tough meeting because they're going to yell at me, right? But then you go into the meeting, it happens totally opposite, right? This is what happens to the beauty of our faith. Just because we fear something doesn't mean it's going to materialize in reality, right? We don't know the outcome, but anxiety and fear says, yeah, you do. So come up with these crazy scenarios and have backup plans. With backup plans, I'm like, even right now as I'm talking with this, I'm like, that's a lot, man. Why don't you just go into the meeting and see what happens?
Live in the reality, not in your mind.
Yeah.
Reality is actually not that bad.
Yeah, and although we're able to laugh at it now, because I do suffer from this a lot, but just the freedom to be able to talk about it, to look at it, but also to have hope. in our world right now, I'm not saying anything bad against psychology, but it's very unfortunate when you remove God from any fields of healing. Because psychology is telling us, yeah, we suffer from anxiety, but our soul is crying out and saying, what am I going to do with it?
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's where having a relationship with God comes in. He says, no, I love you. You don't have to control everything. I can walk with you. You can walk with me, and I'll do the heavier lifting.
Mm-hmm.
Trust that I'm going to give you the right people, the right tools, at the right time. God constantly comforts us, and he reminds us of this truth. That's why you'll hear Father Brian and I talk a lot about, like, go back to prayer. What has God revealed to you about the truth? Because what does God do? He puts us back into reality. Why would he... See, this is the genius part of the whole mystery of the incarnation. It's no longer a theory. God's love took on reality. God's love became a person for you and I. That's why it's important for us to be rooted in reality and not live in this virtual world where we're so afraid of so many things.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the reason why it's hard is because our bodies is always keeping score. That's what he's been saying. Like this anxious feeling and nervousness, they're alarm bells telling your body, like, hey, you haven't been eating right. Hey, you've been sleeping well. Hey, you've been trying to push yourself to the edge. When are you going to come down and just breathe? You know?
Yeah, going into reality, it's definitely something that we can't... nobody can make us go into reality. Nobody can make us live in reality. And I love he points out that sadness, sadness is a emotion that brings us into reality. It's a sobering thing to be in reality, because, or it can be a good thing to be in reality. But there is certain sadnesses that come about looking at our relationships, our health, our money, our career, there's and other things that are all elements of reality that can make us sad. And then that's okay. That itself is an alarm of sorts too. Well, okay, why am I sad? Okay, what can I do about that sadness? Okay, like, listen to it. What can I do with my rationality instead of just like accepting it to challenge that? I just want to make a caveat for extreme anxiety. He does, even in his own testimony of his life, suffering from high anxiety and needed to be medicated and counseled for some serious time. And so obviously there's validity to that. And even in seminary, we saw that of needing counseling and needing drugs and help like that, because grace builds on nature. So the question is how can we make our nature less anxious, and so that the Lord's grace can be placed upon that, and it becomes a synergy. It becomes the two working together. Lastly, just kind of want to go into a practical of the challenge. And within the book, at the very end of the book, he has this, what is it? What's his website?
Oh, I got it.
JohnDelaney.com/resources. Mm-hmm. It's Choosing Reality. It's a journaling template that I just kind of would love to be able to have all of us do. It becomes into reality when we take things into account and actually journal them down. So some of the things he looks at is relationship, health, money, and career. So anxiety can become from any of these areas and probably more. But and these could be difficult things to journal or to write or to, I would say, write down, because the mess is actually not as bad when we write it down,
mm-hmm,
as it is in our mind. So, relationships, these are a few questions that he has. What is the state of the relationships with my family members, spouse, kids, siblings, parents, etc.? What is my relationship with my coworkers? And this is the real one, which I don't know that Father Tay and I have talked about this yet, but how many close friends do I have? This was a huge thing for us while we were in seminary. We had a fellow come and talk to us that was for Guest House, and he was saying, which is a center that priests and religious in recovery go to. Anyways, he was saying to us, like, if you can name 3 to 5 friends that are going to be your friends for the rest of your life, that's one of the best ways you'll never have to see me. Just so the power of being able to be real with the friends and your friends actually looking out for your good, and not being drinking buddies, but being real life journeying with people. So how many of those close friends do you have? And you're going to have anxiety if we don't have many of them. Health, do I have any chronic pain, illnesses, or stress? Do I honor my body when it comes to what, when, and how much I consume? Do I exercise and incorporate challenging physical movements into my daily life? So just look at physical health, which can be a difficult reality, and how do I organize my life in order to make health a priority?
Yeah, to make room for it.
Yeah. And then money. How much debt do I owe? So instead of saying I owe whatever, to actually have a number of what I owe. How much credit card debt, how much car debt, how much phone debt, how much blah, 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 how much house, yeah, student loans, whatever we got. So that can weigh on us heavily, but to look at that and to have a plan of getting out of debt. A lot of this is from Dave Ramsey's stuff too. So I'll make a plug for Dave Ramsey's way of getting out of debt, snowball debt. So how much money do I have in the bank or saved up in and or saved up in retirement, depending on how old you are, depends on how stressed or anxious that can be. Earlier the better with that. But and then what's my relationship with money? I think this is paramount, and this is why I appreciate what Ramsey says about money is in order to give it away, in order for you to be in freedom, which eventually we'll get to, but in order for you to give money away, you need to actually own money. And so to be debt free and to be able to be in freedom of not owing anyone any money, you have the ability to be more generous with it. And his point is, if you don't give $10 out of $100, you'll never give $10,000 out of $100,000. So just the relationship that we have with money, what is it? What's our relationship with it? Mm-hmm. And then how can the Lord come in and help us with that? And then career. These are often challenging, especially if we've been in workplaces for a long time. Am I challenged and engaged in a meaningful work that I look forward to every day or not? Am I compensated fairly for what I do? Is my work environment contributing or distracting from my overall emotional and physical health? So all great questions to ask about our career, and I'm sure there's more. And to talk to the Lord about those different things, but to come into the reality that we are living.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so a lot of these things are, I know it sounds kind of strange of like, well, Fathers, these questions are more about my practical life. What does it have to do anything with our relationship with Jesus? But here's the thing. If you live a healthy life style, there's less of a worry to focus on making things balanced. When you've already built that up, that leaves you more freedom, more space, less of a worry to really focus on God. Right? So this asking yourself these questions, making healthier life choices, will help you achieve that balance. And if you're praying with, coupling with praying, going to Mass, going to confession, you'll see a bigger change. And you'll notice a bigger sense of freedom too. Of like, okay, I did what I could for today, and now I'm moving on, right? So the reason why we're promoting this book is because along with the right questions and the prayer, along with your prayer and relationship with Jesus, He will always challenge you. In the same way these questions should challenge you, am I living a healthy lifestyle that allows me to be the best disciples? Because to be honest, what is the best gift we can give back to God? The use of our body. If you're healthy, you can give him many years of good service. But if you're living unhealthy, the church loses you, your family loses you, right? The world loses you.
Yeah.
So I said, I just kind of challenge you, encourage you to think of it positively in that light.
Yeah. So summary of reality, you must choose to face reality. Yes. Reality is your starting line for right. starting a new course.
Mm-hmm.
Even in our prayer life, what is my reality of prayer? Yeah. On my way back from Sikh, one of the kids said, share the grace of your prayer life doesn't monitor your relationship with God. Your prayer life is your relationship with God. And I was like,
yes.
Oh, that's a good reminder. Yeah, to probably, you know, it's just a good double down on prayer. Choosing reality is the only way your brain, body, and spirit can begin to sift through what is true and what is false and what you're going to do about it. Taking an inventory of the challenges in your life, your relationships, family, health, your station in life, and being honest about where you are versus where you want to be will help you identify the gap between what you desire your life to look like and the reality of where it is now. In addition to facing the dark things of life, we must also be honest about the good things, the light, the beauty, the laughter, and blessings. To heal from anxiety, we must no longer avoid it or go around it, but we have to go through it. So again, just things to do about that is to kind of go through this relationship, these different relationships, things, questions that we asked. And then also to ask ourselves the simple questions. What are some areas in my life that are going well? What are some areas I would like to change?
Mm-hmm.
Do I like myself? Am I proud of the person I am?
Mm-hmm.
And who am I becoming? How do I feel? Do I like how I look? Am I a good spouse, friend, community member? So just a few different things to look at when it comes to facing reality of our state. Of where we're at in order to change a new course to live a non-anxious life. On to connection. So from reality to connection. And what does he mean in living a non-anxious life and connection and anxiety? It's a little bit of a interesting phenomenon that he's pointing out here. Other people are your emergency fund for life.
Mm-hmm.
He points out that how does loneliness, how does unconnection connect to anxiety? As Father Tay had said previously in this episode, our bodies are constantly, our brains are constantly scanning for our environments of threat.
Mm-hmm.
And they're paying attention to people, things, and situations that take us out. And when our body senses that we're out here by ourselves, our tribal instincts kick in. And so our bodies react to the fact that we believe that we are on our own. And it dumps adrenaline and cortisone into our bloodstreams. That this is a problem and we must solve it now. And it's an emergency. It's a crisis. And sounding the alarms of anxiety. Simply because we're alone. So loneliness increases a whole bunch of risks. Heart attack, cardiovascular disease, cancer, addiction, Alzheimer's, dementia, depression, personality disorders, suicidal ideation.
Mm-hmm.
Yelling at your high school kids, your high school kid who is umpiring your little son's league.
Yep,
yeah. Your son's little league game.
That's hilarious.
So those are just a few things of increased loneliness, what can happen to us with that anxiety alarm going off, and loneliness is the risk of that. So, and what does that mean?
Well, that means like, we have to address the lie that it's not good for man to live alone.
Boom.
To be alone.
Right out of Genesis.
Yeah. And so the author is saying, like, that's a lie that we have to combat on a daily basis. That we're not alone. We're meant to be in communion and community with each other, communion with God. And so that statement about how people are an emergency fund, that means you can call. Pick up the phone, give them a call. Hey, can we meet this weekend? Hey, can I come over for dinner? Right? Like, we need to make that decision to go out of ourselves, fight against loneliness, and make the connection with someone else or even with God himself.
Yeah. And obviously, some of us aren't choosing to do life alone, but choosing to do life alone is choosing to die early. Choosing to do life alone is choosing to have an anxious life.
Correct.
And choosing to do life alone is a choice to take everyone around us down with us.
Yeah.
It's
so,
a
like,
powerful thing to say.
Yeah, because self-reliance is only going to hurt the person, which is you. If you strive for self-reliance, well, it's good to be independent for a bit, but at some point, by being too self-reliant, you will chase people away. And so then you're only going to live by yourself. So who are you going to call when you need help, you need comfort, you need companionship? So the author is saying, you know, choose your friends. Choose love. Choose to have a meaningful conversation.
Yep. So back to our how many friends can you have in your life. Essentially why we need connection, why we need to take a account of who can we be real with is... we need someone in our lives or people in our lives that you are fully seen, heard, known, and you are still loved. And you are fully known by others and choose to love them too. So it's a both and that we're seen, heard, and known and are loved in that. Love is a posture of abundance. It's not about possession. It's about open-handedness. It's a choice made daily. To go second in times of plenty and to charge head on in the first times of danger. Love is a promise that I will be right here, as a poet said. What else do you want to say about love?
Yeah. You know, I always go back to that prayer of... the serenity prayer, right? The courage to accept the things that you cannot change, the things that you can.
Stop looking out the window at my black truck.
That's weird. Oh, yeah, so go back to love. Sorry, I get distracted easily.
I have ADD, you don't.
Yeah, so the reason why love and friendship is good because it pulls us out of our isolation. Out of our isolation, right? So the biggest complaint is that even though we can live next to our family members, we don't feel connected with them. So we're like an island upon islands, right? And the family unit is no longer like a family unit because everyone's so busy. So it's almost seem as if we're shifting to more of like an apartment style, right? The dinner table and all the living room are more of like public spaces that sometimes we get together, but everyone else is doing their own thing. And so we're retreating back to our own rooms. And to the author saying, no, friendship and love mean considering the needs of others before your own. That's why love is so good. It pushes you out of what do I want for myself versus what do we need in this instance? How do we live better in the community?
Yeah. So a list of things to do. Summary, to be well, to have a full life, you must choose connection, relationship, and love. You cannot do life alone. Things to do, make a list of friends, spend time with the list and ask yourself why these folks are your friends and how you show up for each other. Make a smaller list of your closest friends, those you would call in the middle of the night if you needed help with an emergency. Spend time with this list and ask yourself why are these your folks and how you show up for each other. Make a list of your friends you have lost touch with, people you share connections but no longer interact with, why you have lost trust. Are they folks you should consider reconnecting with? To apologize to and accepting apologies from. This weekend, spend some time outside until you see one or more of your neighbors. Say hello, introduce yourself. When the time is right, instead of jumping on the internet, consciously ask your neighbor for a favor, like, can I borrow some blank or can you help me with this? called an old friend you haven't talked to in a while. Ask them questions about themselves to catch up. Yes, it'll be weird, but worth it. Apologize to someone. Accept an apology from someone and then invite them to hang out. Download 10 free questions for humans conversation starters at johndeloney.com/resources. Invite someone, a couple, or a whole family over for dinner. It doesn't have to be fancy. Boom. Questions to ask yourself. Is there anyone or more than one who you trust fully? Why or why not? Reflect on this statement. You are fully seen, heard, and known, and you are still loved. And you are fully known, know others, and choose to love them too. Who knows me better than anyone else in the world, and why? Who do I know better than anyone else in the world, and why? Why do I not let people get close to me? What are some ways I can start today to be more open to others? All right. Nice. Next episode, we'll go into freedom and mindfulness.
Oh, yeah. Let's do it.